This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
This is Governor Rick Perry, and I'm inviting you to join your fellow Americans in a day of prayer and fasting on behalf of our nation.
Hello, this is Annie Laurie Gaylor, and I invite you to help us protest elected officials such as Governor Rick Perry of Texas, who misuse their secular office to promote religion and religious worship. Welcome to Free Thought Radio. Today, this show is being broadcast on July 30th, 2011. Hey, what happened to the month of July?
Yeah, time goes fast when you're having fun, and we have been, I guess we could call it having fun. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves, and working to keep state and church separate is daunting and tiring and frustrating sometimes, but it is fun in a way knowing that we're working for a very important principle. This show, Free Thought Radio, is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And the principle we work for is the separation of church and state, as well as to educate the public about the views of non-theists, atheists, and agnostics. We are a state church watchdog and the nation's largest association of freethinkers, with more than 17,000 members nationwide and in Canada. This show, Free Thought Radio, originates from and broadcasts from Madison, Wisconsin. We broadcast in a number of other cities around the country, including Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Monterey, New York City, and other places, as well as podcasting throughout the universe.
Last week, we spoke with author and screenwriter Matthew Chapman, who happens to be the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin, about the movie that he wrote and directed, The Ledge, that had an atheist protagonist in it.
And that movie just came out this year. And this week, today, we have the pleasure of speaking with another author, Larry Beinhart. We interviewed Larry several years ago in late 2008 about the book he had written, Salvation Boulevard. And he told us about the movie, which would be coming out based on his book. The book and the movie, which is now out, just came out in July, has an atheist versus faith theme. And the movie's come out with Pierce Brosnan, Greg Kinnear, Jennifer Connelly, Marisa Tomei, Ed Harris, and others. So we'll talk with Larry about this new movie. He's had other books that had movies as well.
Yeah, and it'll be fun to catch up with him. And we in the Midwest, we get these movies a little behind New York City, but it came out about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, got a good review in the New York Times. So we'll be playing a trailer about it and telling you more about it.
So stay tuned. But for the first half of today's show, we're going to talk about the Freedom From Religion Foundation versus Governor Perry. This is FFRF's new important legal challenge. Since we filed suit on July the 13th, there have been some important developments. First, to remind you, in May, Texas Governor Rick Perry announced not only that he'd be issuing a proclamation calling August 6th the day of fasting and prayer, but announced a Christian evangelical prayer rally to take place on that date, August 6th, at Houston's Reliant Stadium.
And this day of prayer is not just a day of prayer, it's a day of fasting and prayer for our nation's challenges. So it really ties church and state together. And we're suing because Rick Perry, in his official capacity as governor, is the primary host of the prayer rally at to be taking place next weekend at Reliant Stadium. He's the instigator of it. He's the chief inviter. It's his voice, his face.
He's the pastor in chief.
That greets you at the website that promotes the event. He's the host of his own day-long, nationally publicized, pervasively sectarian, Christian evangelical, all-day prayer service. And it is his gubernatorial title as well as his video and his letter invitations that will greet you at the Response. It's called the Response website that's promoting the rally. And this is in cahoots with the American Family Association, which is one of the more notorious far-right, religious right groups
Donald Wildman and his son.
Yeah, and people know it for its boycotts based in Mississippi. So we are suing because of Perry's unprecedented proselytizing actions. And these are actions that brazenly cross the line between government and religion. It's a step up from just proclaiming a day of prayer to actually planning a whole day prayer rally.
For Jesus. It's not non-sectarian. It's an evangelical Christian. We've talked about this on an earlier show, but there's a new development. Late last week, we got complaints from members of the public in Texas that they had picked up their telephone to find that they had received a robocall saying this.
This is Governor Rick Perry, and I'm inviting you to join your fellow Americans in a day of prayer and fasting on behalf of our nation. As an elected leader, I'm all too aware of government's limitations when it comes to fixing things that are spiritual in nature. That's where prayer comes in, and we need it more than ever. With the economy in trouble, communities in crisis, and people adrift in a sea of moral relativism, we need God's help. That's why I'm calling on Americans to pray and fast like Jesus did, and as God called the Israelites to do in the book of Joel. I sincerely hope you'll join me in Houston on August the 6th and take your place in Reliance Stadium with praying people, asking God's forgiveness, His wisdom, and provision for our state and nation. To learn more, visit theresponseusa.com. Then make plans to be part of something even bigger than Texas.
So late last week, after hours, I got a call from this woman in Texas who said, I'm not a member of your group, but I know about your lawsuit. And I'm so, she said, effing mad. I got this phone call from the governor. And then she gave me a phone number where I could actually, you can call the American Family Association and also hear this robocall. And we got other phone calls. We got an email from a woman who is an 84-year-old, raised Jewish. And she said, this is a Christian event, and I'm so angry about my governor calling me up and inviting me to it. Can you help
us? Calling right into the personal homes of people.
And so if this sounded familiar to you, we have played this. This is the video welcome. This is the invitation that greets people at the Response by Governor Rick Perry. We played this on a show a couple of weeks ago, but so what they're doing now is turning that into robocalls in the Houston area at least. So we put out a press release about that, but what we decided to do was crank up the volume of our federal lawsuit against Texas Governor Rick Perry by asking the federal judge who got our case to restrain Perry. We're asking for an actual restraining order from so he cannot continue to promote the August 6th prayer rally at Reliance Stadium. And we've asked the judge to make Perry rescind his prayer proclamation. And we are not asking that Perry can't attend the prayer rally as a private individual, but that he not give this proclamation handed over officially, be there in his in a function as governor, that he take down the links to the gubernatorial website, the state of Texas website, to all of the promotions of the prayer rally, that his video welcome as governor, that his letter as governor be removed from the Response website, and he, you know, the robocalls stop.
The Response is a private Christian group, right? The Response is the American Family Association.
Well, it's Governor Perry, as far as we know, because it's Governor Perry's idea to have the rally. And Dan, I thought maybe you could read part of that open letter that's on the homepage along with the video welcome. This is Governor Perry, signed Rick Perry, Governor of Texas.
Does it say anything about spiritual in nature? Right here, some problems?
Yes.
Some problems are beyond our power to solve. And according to the book of Joel, chapter 2, this historic hour demands a historic response. Therefore, on August 6th, thousands will gather to pray for a historic breakthrough for our country and a renewed sense of moral purpose. I sincerely hope you'll join me in Houston on August 6th and take your place at the stadium with praying people, asking God's forgiveness, wisdom, and provision for our state and nation. There is hope for America. It lies in heaven, and we will find it on our knees. Well, this is very simple. This is a clear violation. A state, not even Texas, a state is not a church. The government must not take sides on religious matters. the gubernatorial office, contrary to Governor Perry's ambitions, is not a ministerial pulpit. Perry was elected governor, not pastor-in-chief.
So among the exhibits filed by FFRF in seeking the restraining order is a transcript of an interview of Perry by Tim Wildman of the American Family Association, which is working hand in glove with Perry to put on the event. And we have some of the introductory comments by Tim Wildman.
We're talking to Governor Texas Governor Rick Perry. He's on the phone with us today talking about this prayer event in August 6th in Houston at the Reliant Stadium there. And we're just sending out the word. All are invited. All are welcome. Please come. Please join us for this day, this special day. And you can find out more information by going to theresponseusa.com.
So all are welcome. Yeah, if you're open to conversion. And he did that letter that Dan wrote was directed at my fellow Americans. Everybody around the whole country was invited. Governor Perry sent letters of invitation asking all the governors to participate, to come to Reliant Stadium, and to also issue their own proclamation. So it has a nationwide edge to it. And now this is one of the many clips we have of Texas Governor Rick Perry talking about it.
It's awesome to be on your program.
And
I can't wait till the 6th of August rolls around and we fill up Reliant Stadium with people who are Christ-loving and realize that, you know, our country's gotten off track. And just like back in days of old, God is the same God we had from the days of Israel. And in the book of Joel, it said to blow the trumpet and to assemble the people and to go into a day of fasting and prayer. To ask for God's direction relative to direction, and that's exactly what we're doing.
That's Governor of Texas Rick Perry talking on a radio show, a Christian radio show, about why he's having this day of prayer and fasting next week, August 6th, at Reliant Stadium in Houston. And I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're going to take a break, but we're going to come back to hear some more incriminating evidence of a mixture of state and church. Stay tuned.
Hello, my name's Bernie from Sarnia, Ontario, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And later in today's show, we'll have a conversation with the author, Larry Beinhart. We've talked with him before. His book is called Salvation Boulevard, another novel that he has written that's been turned into a movie starring Pierce Brosnan and Ed Harris and others. So stay tuned for that interesting interview.
So we have been talking about FFRF versus Governor Perry, the governor of Texas, who is taking these unconstitutional prayer proclamations one step further and holding an event, hosting an event, and then proclaiming it as a day of fasting and prayer for our nation next Saturday, August 6th in Houston. And we're suing, we're asking for a restraining order, we're asking for the court to find it unconstitutional. And what we've been doing is listening to an interview he had done with Tim Wildman of this notorious American Family Association. So where are we now, Dan?
Well, let's listen to another plug that he gave on that show promoting the prayer event.
The information about this event, August 6th at the Reliant Stadium in Houston, is at theresponseusa.com, theresponseusa.com. Folks, what you can do is load up church vans, you know, cars, buses, whatever, and come to Houston at the Reliant Stadium for that day.
So this is Governor Perry, and he does this in several places. Like, he knows the whole schedule. Like, get there at 8, and the Christian music starts at 8:30, and the prayer service starts at 10, and then it goes on all day. And I'm thinking, Dan, wouldn't it be nice if we had a governor promoting our national convention?
Yeah, come to
get
the...
there. You know, early registration starts at 5.
Come to our non-prayer breakfast at 8 o'clock.
And then what's happening for the rest... I mean, this is an unprecedented promotion of religion by a governor.
And then we found this admission by Governor Perry quite amusing.
I know my limitations. And let me tell you, I want God helping me, guiding me, giving me direction. And that's the reason that we brought together these Christian leaders of all races, of all ages, of all Christian denominations. This is a very diverse group.
So it's a very diverse group of Christians, in other words.
So he's admitting in his invitation that there are some problems that can't be solved by normal means. They are spiritual in nature. So isn't the governor admitting that he's inept? He was elected to do a job. What we would say to Governor Perry is get off your knees and get to work instead of asking a spook in the sky to do your work for you.
And then over and over in this interview, of course, Perry establishes the purpose of the prayer rally.
I hope there are, you know, literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people across this country that will that day go into a spiritual, truthful fasting and praying mode, lifting up this country, and then you know, just ask for God's will to be done. I mean, that's simply what we're asking people to do. Nothing more, nothing less.
And there's no secular purpose behind that. It's purely religious Christian devotion, and that's what the government is supposed to be barred from doing. It is not supposed to take sides on religion.
And my brother Daryl pointed out that the governor of Texas seems to be admitting that the National Day of Prayer, which happened on May the 5th when the country prayed for God's guidance, was a failure because Governor Perry says, well, we're going to have to do it all over again on August the 6th.
Well, and they feel the need to do it over and over again every year. And then here's what Tim Wildman, we can listen into what Tim Wildman says about the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Yeah, the Freedom From Religion organization, folks, you don't know this, we haven't talked about this. They are suing Governor Perry for every, it's a frivolous, stupid, if I can use a word my mom is not listening, lawsuit here.
Was that the governor laughing in the background?
I don't know. There was also Tony Perkins of that research council being interviewed. But yeah, they were chuckling over it. And then they were saying, oh, they would like to put me in jail for going to church. Hmm. Now, this is a totally
misrepresentation.
He doesn't understand the difference between his personal views, his personal devotional rights, and using his office to promote religion. That's the crux of the problem.
And we found this very revealing. Here is Tim Wildman of the American Family Association, which is co-hosting the event with Perry praising him.
Let me just say, too, one other thing about what I told him on the air a few moments ago, and then we got another guest we want to get to about this. What Governor Perry calling for this prayer event, because American Family Association and FRC and others, but particularly the fire has been at us and criticizing Governor Perry for his association with the American Family Association because we're homophobic and intolerant and bigoted and all these words that they use, against us. He has not backed down. He has not taken the bait. Yeah, Governor Perry, I'm talking about. He has not said, you know, I need to distance myself from the American Family Association because it's going to hurt me politically. Now, that's what a lot of politicians do when they think, being linked with some group or some individual may hurt them politically. Governor Perry, to his credit, from our perspective, has not done that at all. And we thank him for that. And that's something that I think, Tony, we can be proud of with our association with the governor on this event is that he's not backing up on that.
And Governor Perry is not backing down from being associated with a homophobic hate-type group.
A group that believes that God has communicated absolute truth to mankind, that all people are subject to the authority of God's word at all times. AFA believes that a culture based on biblical truth best serves the well-being of our nation and families in accordance with the vision of our founding documents. Personal transformation through the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest agent of biblical change in any culture.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. We have been talking about FFRF's very important lawsuit here, trying to raise some consciousness. We hope you will join FFRF. Go to FFRF.org. Now, who's coming up, Dan?
We're going to be talking with author Larry Beinhart about his book, Salvation Boulevard, which has just been released as a major motion picture starring Ed Harris and Pierce Brosnan and Jennifer Connelly and Greg Kinnear. So stay tuned. This should be a lot of fun.
My name is Bill Smythe, and I'm from Portland, Oregon. And I've been a practicing atheist for the last 40 years. And this is Bill on Free Thought Radio.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. The corpse is an atheist professor. The suspect is an Islamic foreign student. The defense attorney is a Jewish lawyer. The investigator is a born-again Christian. The mystery is God. How's that for a tagline for a novel? We have on the phone with us today Larry Beinhart, the author of the book Salvation Boulevard. We spoke with him back in late 2008 about his book, and he told us at that time that it was going to be made into a movie. Well, now it has. Author Larry Beinhart, who is a Fulbright Fellow, has won many awards, including the Edgar, the Gold Dagger, the Grand Prix de Literature. He's best known for the political and detective novel American Hero, which was adapted for the political parody film Wag the Dog, directed by Barry Levinson. It starred Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro, which The New Yorker called a tour de force of satirical fiction. His most recent novel, Salvation Boulevard, has just come out this month as a movie with Pierce Brosnan, Greg Kinnear, Jennifer Connelly, Marisa Tomei, Ed Harris, and many others. He's written other books that we'll talk about maybe later here. But welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Larry.
Dan, it is a pleasure to be back with you.
Now, I have a complaint. When we talked 2-3 years ago, I offered myself for the part of the atheist professor, and I've been standing by the phone waiting. What does Ed Harris have that I don't?
He's got a beard.
Is that it?
Yep. Right. Yeah, for this film, he has a beard and he has a goatee.
He does. Well,
he looks very distinguished and sharp and professorial.
We're going to hear a little clip from the trailer where he has a good line about religion and reason. But for our listeners who haven't yet read your book, and they should, just tell us a little bit about the storyline.
Well, the storyline is a megachurch preacher in an unnamed southwestern state has become not just a religious force, he's a political force, and he now wants to build his own city, a Christian city. The city on the hill.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the book, there's a dead atheist professor. In the movie, you get to see him shot, which you don't see in the book. And in the movie, the atheist is Ed Harris. Anyway, there's a dead atheist, and the guy who gets called to investigate it is a born-again Christian. And the things he encounters are issues of faith, and the people he encounters in his investigation are people who are running their lives by the nature of their religious faiths, which are various. They're different faiths, and they're different degrees of faith or unfaith. And I wrote it because I think those set very significant frameworks in how people deal with life, and we don't necessarily acknowledge it. We acknowledge it in kind of false, dumb ways, like we go around thinking that people who religion don't have sex, or don't commit adultery, or don't do drugs, which is obviously not true. But they influence our political choices, our financial choices, and a host of other things, and I thought that was worth exploring.
Yeah, and the hypocrisy of all of this, these pretenses that people have. Now, the book is it's a thriller. It's a mystery. It's an engaging story. But it's also lighthearted. And I saw from the trailer, we haven't seen the movie yet, but from the trailer, that it looks like it's just a lot of fun too.
Oh, the movie is a lot of fun. The guy who directed it, George Ratliff, like yourself, comes from a born again Christian family. His down in Texas, with the strain of atheism running through it.
He did Hell House, didn't he?
Yeah, George did Hell House. And I think that's why Kathy Schulman, who has an Oscar for Crash, picked him to do this film. And, you know, George doesn't make fun of these people. He makes fun with them. And, I mean, and, you know, it's not a satire, okay? It's not like Wag the Dog with Dr. Strangelove, and it's not an Elmer Gantry. It's not, you know, like a huge condemnation of hypocrisy. It's an entry into the lives of people who live, most of them, by an excess of faith. And even when they do bad things, very much as in the book, it's within the context of believing that what they're doing is somehow right.
Now, I have to have a confession, a secular confession.
You have a confession?
Yes.
Oh, how exciting.
You can grant absolution.
I have just started reading your book. I'm really enjoying it, but I've been really busy. I just picked it up like this weekend, and I'm sure I'll be done by the end of the week. Who does Pierce Brosnan play?
Pierce Brosnan plays the preacher.
Okay, because I think I haven't met the preacher yet. I'm just to the point where we're sort of looking at a rendition situation with the suspect.
Right. Yeah, no, and he obviously he doesn't look at all like the character I described. But if you get Pierce Brosnan, you don't say,
no, you
don't. I want somebody who looks more like the character in the book. Not at all.
And actually, in real life, he has made some critical comments about religion. I mean, he's from Ireland, the Republic of Ireland.
Right.
They're very hard on religion these days because they've seen religion run amok. I mean, they really are mad at the Catholic Church.
And it's about bloody time.
Yeah. Well, from the trailer, it looks like he's just having a bloody good time playing the role. He does.
And it has subtlety in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's again, he's not. He's inhabiting it. You know, he's not making fun of people. He's not trashing it. He becomes a guy who has a lot of these, not just beliefs, but religious tics that George Ratliff, the director, is very in touch with. This notion that everything you see is a sign of God. You know, God put the traffic light there so that you would turn into the parking lot of the church. God put a certain show on TV.
I used to be just like that.
Yeah, at a certain time, so it would make you aware that the devil was haunting you.
And his wife, too, did the same. His wife, played by Jennifer Connelly. She's just like that, or if not more.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think she's another kind of free-thinking actress. That's interesting. Now, so Greg Kinnear plays the investigator who's the born-again?
Yeah, but no, okay. So what, okay, now, what happens when you take a book into a movie?
Yeah.
Okay, first time it happened to me, which was Wag the Dog, the way I described it is they bought my house because they liked the view. They tore down the house and built their own but kept the view. Okay, which was great, and they made a great movie. I'm very happy with it. This time, George and his co-screenwriter Doug Stone, the way I describe it is, I built a nice Lego castle, right? And these two kids came along, knocked it into pieces, tossed the Legos up in the air, and then built their own castle.
But the spirit of it is the same.
Yeah, and I keep seeing, you know, and I see stuff that I did, like a Lego block in a different wall. Okay, so you know, an impulse or an idea or something that takes place in the book with one character will now belong to another character.
But that happens in a lot of movies, doesn't it?
Yeah, and again, you faithfully to the plot and the storyline of a novel when you go to make a movie can be disastrous and crippling. I've seen it any number of times where you see a literal rendition. It's very boring, stilted, awkward film. And when I try to adapt my own work, I know that at a certain point, what you have to do, and this is something David Mamet said, is you take the book and you put it in a drawer and just use the stuff you remember. and you have to have your own vision. And I was fortunate enough, or not fortunate enough, I was pushy enough to meet George before he started working on the screenplay and introduced myself, and we sat down and we talked about it. I said, look, George, you know, I wrote a book. I had my own problems. Now, you have to make a movie that's your problem. You're going to do what you, whatever it is you feel you need to do to make it work. And I'm not going to sit over your shoulder and say, oh, no, the book is different. And he was courteous enough and kind enough to include me to a certain degree in the process, which, that is to say, he showed me the various drafts of the screenplay. He invited me to come out and watch it be shot. It was shot in Michigan.
Well, that must have been fun, being on the sets.
It was great. It was great. And I think I returned the courtesy by being positive, enthusiastic about anything he did and never saying, oh, it's not the book.
Now, the book didn't have a debate, if I remember, but the movie, did they actually have a debate between the atheist and...
Okay, so actually, in the novel, the atheist is dead and he's left a book behind, or a fragment of a book. And the novel tells you that a debate is going to commence between the ideas left behind by a dead person in a book, which is like the Bible, in a sense, and a living person. And in the movie, they have the debate between two living people.
Well, that must be fascinating. We have to take a quick break here, Larry, and we'll come back and talk more about the movie. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio. We're talking with Larry Beinhart.
And we're going to come back and hear a trailer for the movie, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
Well, I guess my story starts right around here.
Not so long ago, Carl was a lost soul.
A dead head.
Now he is a transformed man.
We're both authors of best-selling books.
Mm-hmm.
What if we co-authored one about our opposing worldviews?
Could bring a lot of non-believers to Christ.
Or believers to reason.
Without God,
what's to stop me from killing poor Carl
here?
The collaboration begins.
I just got word that late last night, Professor Blaylock was the victim of an attempted suicide.
Holy crap! The Church of the Third Millennium Pastor.
You gotta come with me. Just smile and pretend nothing went wrong.
What's going on, Jerry? Pastor Dan told me everything.
He did?
Just admit what you did.
Me? What?
Yeah, you shot that guy and tried to make it look like a suicide.
Jerry,
I mean, Carl, I've gotten hot
Dan
on the
shot
collar.
The professor.
I know Dan would never do a thing like that.
I was there.
I did him do it with my own eyes.
You're off in some kind of acid flashback.
Okay.
The incident has sent Carl into a very dark place. Tell me, did he have any family history?
Like genealogy?
Carl may or may not be demonically possessed.
Why are you doing this?
You're being controlled by evil.
We're friends, man. I let you in the grill at my barbecue.
Nice performance.
Pastor shot that professor.
I am armed and dangerous. I have a sword of the spirit.
Mom.
I get it now. I get it.
I am the anointed servant of God.
I've even got a title.
Well, that is the trailer for the new movie Salvation Boulevard that just debuted this month. And it's based on the book by our guest today, Larry Beinhart.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gellar, and we have Larry Beinhart on the phone with us. And so tell us about there was a red carpet, or at least there was a opening at Sundance.
Yeah, I went to Sundance to see the film for the first time, and it was an absolute treat. My daughter and her boyfriend and my wife came with me, and it was great. I mean, to see it in front of an audience, audiences loved it. I saw it twice at Sundance. Then the Woodstock Film Festival, which takes place in my hometown, arranged for a special screening here.
That's nice.
So all my friends and neighbors came to see it, and George Ratliff, who's the director, showed up, and it was great. Once again, the audiences loved it. I saw it at a film festival on the Jersey Shore, which was full of very civilized people, not like the people on television.
Or at Woodstock.
And no, I meant the Jersey Shore people.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Really. Literate, well-spoken, no gel in their hair, and they loved the movie. And I saw it at a Thriller Fest, which is kind of a writer's conference in New York. Once again, the audience's response to the movie was very, very good. So, go see the movie. You'll enjoy it. It's fun. It's provocative. Bring your believing friends with you. They will enjoy it as well. I promise.
So, well, for those of us who don't see it yet, I mean, it's, maybe coming to Madison, Wisconsin, where we have a Sundance Theater. But you were telling us during the break that it's going to go to View on Demand. When is that?
Sometime in August.
So
you know,
people can...
A month away.
So people can look out for it then.
Yep, absolutely.
So the main pastor is named Dan. I would have been good for that role too, you know.
Absolutely,
because I
yes.
used to be a preacher. I guess I just got second place, didn't I? So.
You know, I gave them your name. I said, please put this guy in it. They got Pierce, you know, they got James Bond.
Well, so Ed Harris said what I would have said anyway. Maybe this new book they're co-writing would bring some believers to reason. So there
yes.
you go. And that line Marissa Tomei says we heard in the trailer, now I get it, now I get it. She sees how crazy these people are, actually. So
right.
That was really funny.
Marissa Tomei is, as always, very funny, very charming, a delight to watch.
Did you have any... You wanted to examine faith when you wrote this book, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, that was the point of it. Faith has become a hugely important political, once again, has become a hugely important political and economic issue.
You're not talking about Governor Perry, are you?
Well, yeah, Governor Perry, there's the Republican Party is all, whenever they have a presidential primary, is a contest of guys trying to out-Jesus each other. It's interesting. A Fox commentator got pilloried for it, but she brought up what will in fact be the most significant political issues on who's going to be the Republican nominee. When she pointed out, when she said, "Well, you know, Mitt Romney's not a Christian because he's a Mormon." And I think she's absolutely right in the sense that people who regard themselves as Christian will not regard Mitt Romney as a Christian.
I used to be like that.
Yeah. One of the formative events for me in understanding this business about religion, and there's a lot about it in the book, is many years ago I was writing a book in which the main character was had been raised Catholic. And I wanted the Baltimore Catechism because I figured I'd always heard about it. I'd never actually seen it, but I know everybody went to Catholic school, read it. So we were down on 43rd Street, and my wife went into this big Bible bookstore there, and she was going to get me a copy. And she asked for it, and the woman running the store looked at her and said, "We wouldn't have that. We're a Christian bookstore."
Because it's Roman Catholic, yeah.
Because it was Catholic, and there is this distinct feeling inside, you know, particularly the more fundamentalist, more serious Protestant sects, that Catholics are not real Christians.
Well,
they are.
Any non-evangelical.
Right.
Is the way I used to think, and I think the character in your book, the real Christians are evangelicals and everyone else are just phonies in
yeah.
some way.
Or simply not Christians. And it goes the other way, too. You know, I mean, Catholics regard serious Catholics, not your, you know, casual liberal, laid-back Catholics, but, you know, serious Catholics regard Protestants as schismatics, as apostates.
Well, and isn't this true, you know, you're infidels if you're not a Muslim, you're goy, if you're not Jew. Yeah. I mean, there's always this, you just don't believe in the right God like I do.
Right, exactly.
So your movie is a whodunit, and by the end of it and the book, we'll find out actually who killed the professor. But you're not going to tell us now.
Don't spoil my surprise, because I'm still reading it. But, gee, I don't know if I like the idea of the atheist professor being the murder victim, but...
It's a novel, anyway.
It's a novel.
And stranger things have happened.
Well, and I think that you're telling me we may have another book coming out soon to look forward to from you.
You may indeed, yes.
So, well, thank you so much, and congratulations.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Dan.
We've been talking with Larry Beinhart, the author of the book Salvation Boulevard, which has just come out this month as a movie. Get the book or go see the movie. We also want to thank our producer and our engineer, Brian Turani, for working on our show, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper. You can hear all the past shows, including Larry Beinhart's previous interview, on our website, ffrf.org/radio, and sign up for the podcast as well.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org. You may phone 1-800-335-4021 to get a sample copy of our newspaper, Free Thought Today. And of course, we invite you to become a member of FFRF to support our litigation, our broadcast, all of our work to educate. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday